If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this on a Thursday night following game number one of the NBA Finals. We've been waiting forever for the finals. We're going to recap that. Also, a heads up, we'll be dropping some more Kings content on your feeds. Make sure to check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/@Deuce and Mo. We got the draft 20 days away, free agency after that. We'll be at the California Classic and Summer League, so stay locked in with us. Morgan, we waited a long time for game one of the NBA Finals. It's been a while since we've done one of these, but game one goes to the Boston Celtics. 107-89 over the Dallas Mavericks. What's kind of the first thing, your biggest takeaway, reflecting on what we just witnessed in game one?
The dominance of the Boston Celtics. And not to say that the Mavericks won't respond. Like, we've seen them respond before. They responded after the half. I mean, that alone was huge. But truly, to me, it was a, holy shit, they're stopping a lot of different things. It wasn't about just slowing down Luka and his shooting or Kyrie. Kyrie was missing his shots. It was, they were stopping the other guys, which was stopping Luka from having his assists or for them having a flow to their offense. Those lobs that they loved to Daniel Gafford this entire postseason. All of those options just felt like they were gone with this Boston Celtics defense.
Boston to me look like a team that has experienced the NBA Finals before together. And for the most part, they have, right? The main core. But then you throw a Drew Holiday in the mix. He's played in the NBA Finals. These guys know what it takes. You know, they know the energy. They know the longer timeouts, the whole pregame stuff. Mm-hmm. They're used to it all. For Dallas, for a lot of those guys, it's the first time. And it's the first time together. And I felt like they came out not with the appropriate amount of intensity early in this game. And Boston was fired up from the start. They were flying everywhere and got more fired up after Porzingis came in the game and was making everything. I thought it was prime Dirk. Porzingis back for the first time since April 29th, coming off the bench, no minutes restriction, and he was a force on both ends.
Let's start there. Because, I mean, even when you asked me what's one of the biggest takeaways, Porzingis is a part of that when I'm talking about the dominance. And you're exactly right. It's the way that he set the tone as soon as he came into the game. And again, talk about a guy that was doing it on both ends of the floor, blocking shots, defending the basket, and then on the other end, coming in, transition three, all in one motion, a 29-footer, a 30-footer, able to shoot over whoever the hell was in front of him. It was just a... It wasn't a performance I was expecting from Porzingis first game back. Is that fair to say?
Okay. He hasn't played in a game since April 29th, right? Okay. So your first game's back. Your first game back is in the NBA Finals for the first time ever for him.
Uh-huh.
He ends up in this game playing 20 minutes off the bench. It's a good way to kind of get him back. Missoula elects to go, you know what? This group, the starting five, has been playing together. Mm-hmm. We've been winning. Like, well, Brent, let's slow play. It's been a minute. He had 20 points. He had 6 rebounds. He had 3 blocks in this game. Ooh. And yeah, the 3 blocks are great, but it was just his presence down low. And there's no greater stat tonight than looking at the difference between these two teams at the rim. According to Cleaning the Glass, Dallas was 16 of 25 at the rim.
Okay.
Missed a lot at the rim. I mean, Derek Jones Jr., who is so effective at attacking the basket.
We'll talk about why they missed everything at the rim.
16 of 25 at the rim.
Okay.
Boston, 15 of 15. They did not miss at the rim in this game. And, you know, Porzingis obviously plays a huge role in that whole thing, right? Jaylen Brown, we'll talk about him too, but This is the Celtics team that everyone feared. Like, you know, even throughout the playoffs, they're like, God, man, they're kind of struggling with the Pacers a little bit. Or, hey, man, this has not been the smoothest playoffs.
Playing
for
with
them.
Their food.
Even though they're winning, you know.
Yeah.
You have these high standards for Boston. Well, this group with Porzingis, you see how many problems they create on both ends of the ball, right?
Yes.
You have to defend 5 out. Porzingis is hunting mismatches. How many times do we see Dallas give up the switch? Here's Porzingis at the free throw line. And he's like, I got Josh Green on me. I got Derek Jones on me. There's not a good matchup.
No.
You put these guys on him. He's at the free throw line. He's going to face up, turn around, jumper in their face.
I mean, but going back to the stat that you shared, what was the number for the Mavs at the rim?
16 of 25.
16 of 25. Now, a lot of that goes, you know, toward when you look at Porzingis down there by the rim. And you not only look at his blocks, but the way that he was staying vertical, the way that his presence was felt on so many different plays, just being in the paint. I mean, they weren't allowed to get those same type of alley-oop lob looks that they were getting all throughout the postseason. It was screwing with their entire offense. But it wasn't only Porzingis. And sure, we can go down the list of guys that were making their presence felt, but Jaylen effing Brown in his presence with a lot of that at the rim alone. I mean, we're just dissecting his defensive game right now, Deuce. And that alone was, to me, just like remarkable.
Both those guys, Porzingis and Brown, were a part of holy shit sequences. Mm. Porzingis's came at the end of the first, and then you had Brown in that third quarter when Dallas is making a run. I wrote this down. So Kyrie bricks a 3 from the corner.
Okay.
Like one of the few corner looks that Dallas got tonight. In fact, they only had 3 corner threes in this game.
Ooh.
Attempted. So Kyrie has a bad brick. Uh-huh. Okay. Then Porzingis buries a 3. Kyrie comes down and tries to pop a midi. Porzingis blocks it.
Yep.
And then Hauser buries a 3 in transition, and the crowd was just going insane. It didn't end up there. You had a sequence where Tatum got stripped by Josh Green. Green's going the other way in transition, and Porzingis just blocked the shit out of him.
Trying to dominate and throw it down.
Yes. On his face. And so it was just such an impressive performance defensively by Porzingis, and that just gave them a huge lift. And after the first quarter, it's 37 to 20. The dominance continued into the second quarter, although I felt like Dallas made a run. It was like a 7-0 run at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, Luka's getting it going. I feel like they're getting back in the game. You got to be careful here. At halftime, it was 63 to 42. You want to go to that third quarter now? Because Jaylen Brown plays a huge role in
that's
this.
That's where I want to go to Jaylen Brown. And I mean, we can talk about, too, the resiliency of the Dallas Mavericks to come out of that half and the way that they ended the second quarter and then brought it into the third and going, oh, shit, it's an 8-point game all of a sudden. How do they do this? And then Boston said, we're going to stop playing with our food and we're going to dominate. And Jaylen Brown was a huge part of that.
Yeah, I give Dallas credit for a couple of things early in that third quarter. I felt like they played with much more physicality defensively.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
I felt like Derek Lively, and he picked up some fouls tonight, and that was problematic a bit. But he was like, we just got punked by Porzingis. The next time Porzingis comes in the game, I'm not letting him punk me. Yes. And he was bumping him, trying to get him off his spots, just trying to irritate him, playing ultra physical. I like seeing that from Lively. And they just chipped away. They started to settle down. Luka started hunting mismatches with Horford.
There was more urgency on both ends.
Yes, yes. And so they cut in this lead. So after Kleba sets a screen, this is a terrible pick and roll defense. Luka buries a three to cut it to 72-64, 4:27 to go in the third.
Okay.
It's a game at that point. And Luka, after he hit that three, that face he had looking at the Boston crowd was like, oh, shit.
Is he just going to go off like this for the rest of the game?
Boston, you were just up by 29. Yeah. Are you folding here? Part of the problem, too, I felt like with Boston during that stretch, yeah, they were missing shots. But this is where you talk about playing with their food. Settling, you know, and I thought Boston at their best tonight, they were attacking, they were driving relentlessly and forcing help and moving the ball around. That's when Boston's at its best. All that timeout, that's exactly what they did. Tatum did it, then Jaylen Brown absolutely took over.
He did, and with that, he was driving to the basket. And if he wasn't looking to score in the paint, he was looking to pass. He was creating so much more for the Boston Celtics offense, making the Mavs defense really have to think twice. You know, Lively could only stay as aggressive as he could when he was in there until he got his fifth foul, and then he was taken out of the game.
That was at the 2:44 mark. He picks up his fifth foul in the third quarter.
Okay, so even when that happened, I appreciate the heart and the defensive intensity that he brought. And when Jaylen Brown realized, like, no, guys, like, we can't play like this anymore, the way that he just started attacking, I think really saved the game for the Boston Celtics.
It was the attacking and just play after play after play. Again, it's back to an 8-point game with 4:27 to go. And this is what really good teams are supposed to do. And these are lessons for Boston. You know, you have these games. I think it was against Atlanta this year where they're up like 30 and they lost the game.
Mm-hmm.
These you can't have moments like that in the NBA Finals in game one, your home floor. And so the approach was the right way. I wrote down some of these plays, Morgan. Jaylen Brown breaks up a lob.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He blocks a Derrick Jones Jr. dunk attempt. Yep. So this is on the same sequence. Breaking up a lob, then he helps that weak side help, blocks him at the rim. Then he pushes, gets the ball moving, he attacks the paint, gets the ball moving. It leads to a Jason Tatum three. The crowd is going absolutely crazy. Momentum plays, okay? You're sucking the belief out of the Dallas Mavericks. After that, he attacks Kleba. It leads to an Al Horford corner three. Great decision by him. Again, attacking the paint, getting close to the rim, kicking it for three, bang. Then how about Kyrie driving? Brown blocks the shot. Again, his defense tonight was unbelievable, and the box score backs it up. The final stat line for Jaylen Brown in this game, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals, 3 blocks, 2 assists. He did on 7 of 12 shooting. Weird to see 6 of 11 at the free throw line, but we'll put that aside.
Sure.
A fantastic game by him.
Fantastic. And I mean, it's not even, it never felt like he was ever the problem, even when Dallas was going on the run, right? In that third quarter, especially in the beginning of the third, it felt like the Mavs were just really starting to figure it out, pick them apart. Maybe a little bit of the Boston Celtics mentality got a little bit lazy and they let up a little bit, but whatever Joe Mazzulla said, did, whatever Jaylen Brown decided to switch on and do, it completely changed the game. This game will definitely be remembered because of like Jaylen Brown and his performance on both ends of the floor, but also Porzingis and the way that he came back after not playing for so many games. So I love the angles to this game for it being such a blowout. I love that the Mavs started and tried to get back into this, but truly dominant performance from everyone on the Boston Celtics. If you want to continue with the Boston Celtics too and talk a little bit more good about them,
yeah,
they're okay. Because then the bad of the Mavs, I mean, there's just so many different angles there, from Kyrie to Kleba not even being a force or threat on the offensive end.
Boston, when they just looked absolutely like engaged and locked in and running guys off the 3-point line, the contests were fantastic. The on-ball pressure was there. Look, Luka still scored 30 points. Okay. But nothing felt easy for the Mavericks tonight. He was 12 of 26. The fact that he had 30 points, 10 rebounds, he had one assist in this game. This is because of how good defensively Boston mm-hmm. was. They were everywhere. And that's another shout out to Jaylen Brown. We just talked about everything he did in this game, the help defense, the attacking. He's also picking up Luka. And early in this game, picking him up full court, trying to make him work. I just thought, go down the list. Horford had some big blocks in this game. Tatum, I thought he had some amazing dimes in this one. Mm-hmm. Like just they never just that brief moment in the third quarter, like, hey, is this the bad Boston Celtics playing with their food? But besides that, this was a really like A-plus performance from Boston.
Yeah, from everybody, just like we said. I mean, they were rotating, they were doing a little bit of everything. Derek White, same thing, adding his 15 points, 5-11 from the field, 3-8 from three-point land. Yeah. You know, even when he started missing some of his threes, that was actually when it felt like Dallas started capitalizing, right? Because yeah. I said, God, a lot of Derek White. And not to say Derek White can't go off and Derek White can't have a big game, but it was, why aren't one of the other guys trying to do more?
And then you
saw the confidence in Jaylen Brown and he started to really pick it up. So, I mean, you had your leaders and your star players do what they needed to do for your offense for this team. And then defensively, I just thought their plan was fantastic. When you're slowing down one of the best ball handlers in the world in Kyrie Irving, and I will say this too, though, it was here with Kyrie too. It was a little bit in his mind. I mean, the 17,000 people chanting as loud as they can, bloody murder, Kyrie sucks, Kyrie sucks. He's dealt with it all before. But when you feel it once again and you're back in that place that you're kind of traumatized by, I'm sure there's a little different energy going on inside you, even if you want to act confident. After the first quarter, he was with Lisa Salters and she's basically asking him, you know, like, what do you guys need to do? He's like, this is no big deal. We got this. And I believed him, but I also could see a little bit of fear in him too. I was like, I don't know. I know he's feeling a step slower.
I didn't feel like it was fear tonight. He was sloppy. I mean, he dribbled it off his foot.
But that's what I'm saying. That's not being, something is screwing with you, whether you want to believe it or not.
And maybe that he needed to go through it. Like his first time there, he needed to feel that a little bit. And he missed some shots that like, he had some good looks he missed.
You know, great looks.
I don't know. He ends up in this game, 12 points, 6 of 19 shooting, 0 for 5 from downtown. The three-point shooting in this game tells a story, too. We mentioned like the Dallas 9 assists, 11 turnovers that turned into 18 Boston points. But 9 assists, 11 turnovers, they shot 41%. They were 7 of 27 from 3, 26%, okay? 16 of 42 for Boston. That's 38%. So that's a plus 27 point advantage in favor of the Boston Celtics in 3-point shooting. That's obviously a number we're used to with Boston. Mm-hmm. They're able to do it. Dallas has shown the ability to knock down threes. They missed some good looks tonight, but I also give Boston's defense plenty of credit as well. With Kyrie, it felt like he never got comfortable in this game.
Even his 0 for 5 from 3. It was like those threes were threes that we've seen him make with a hand in his face, you know? And there were some that were actually pretty open looks. So it was surprising. And I'm not worried about it for him. I think this is one of those moments, one of those times where, okay, I got that. I let that one go. It's not like, oh, Kyrie didn't show up. What, you know, like you can't get mad. This is going to happen at times with players. You just hope that it doesn't happen multiple times in this series.
The one shot he had that he made was in that first quarter. I think he was it over like Derek White and Porzingis.
So Porzingis gets a piece of the ball. Kyrie is going up in the mid-range. Porzingis gets a piece of the ball. Kyrie's still floating in the air somehow. And Derek White and Porzingis keep their hands up to contest this. And somehow Kyrie still makes his shot. It was a fantastic, beautiful shot. And then he had easier looks than that. And they just weren't going in. He dribbled the ball off his leg. I mean, giving so much credit first and foremost to the Celtics defense, but some of these shots are shots that you've seen Kyrie Irving make before.
I totally forgot to mention the Jaylen Brown dunk too. That was nasty.
Wait, which one?
He had the poster jam.
Oh,
where he crossed
yes,
over.
Yes.
Luka.
Yep.
and got yep. into the paint and just attacked the rim.
Which one?
Jaylen Brown getting like downhill and just like
scary.
He's relentless. I know. To the basket.
It's well, and the only reason why I asked which one, because I remember there was a time that I think Luka got picked and then they threw it up to him in transition and it was just a nice dunk. But that one was so much more beautiful because of the amount of traffic that he had to go through to finish.
It's another game too for Dallas, and we've seen it in the playoffs too. I mean, it's simple. Like you can't really have Kyrie have a 6 of 19 night, but then we always pay attention to the lively Gafford production because when they are like really good, it's like they're contesting at the rim, they're blocking shots. This is such a different matchup, right? Boston can spread you out.
Yeah.
And no matter what, they've got shooting. When don't they have shooting out there? It doesn't happen, especially now that Porzingis is back. You know, like Cornette, maybe you play off of him, but he comes in garbage time in this game. Porzingis is back now. So now Gafford has to play the perimeter a little more, which makes life more challenging. They put him in different action, taking him away from the basket defensively. So you take away the rim protection there. That's problematic. The other thing, too, is just offensively. I mean, I just felt like they did such a good job preventing any lob action whatsoever. I think the stat I saw was in the first half, Dallas did not have any lobs.
I mean, I believe it. I think we saw attempts.
We definitely saw some attempts. Yeah. But there were a couple of times in the first half, I was like, oh my God, like Luka, instead of going for the lob because he doesn't feel like he can get this lob,
yeah,
they're doing a drop-off pass. And, you know, then all of a sudden, it's like you're counting on the big to catch it. And it's just an unfamiliar action, right? They're so used to getting clean looks at the rim. Those looks are there.
All the lobs were being broken up. All those looks weren't even being seen. It was just too many bodies down there. But then the other thing that really bothered me, and I mentioned this to you multiple times, Maxi Kleba not being any sort of threat on the offensive end. He didn't even attempt a three. And when I say he wasn't a threat,
you know why?
I know.
The shoulder is an issue.
You could tell because every time he got the ball, Deuce, he didn't even square up and look to go. He just swung it around.
I think that's how limited he is right now. He can't shoot the ball. But they need him out there just for his size and defense, right? And credit to him for going out there. But he doesn't look like he wants to even be a threat
at all. You got to put some like cortisone in that shoulder and shoot the shit out of the basketball. Like just get, you have to pose as a threat because truly when the ball would get swung, it was the Celtics defense was just expecting it to get swung. And already they were so like they're already a step ahead, not allowing Maxi Kleba wasn't allowing his team to see a more open look from the outside.
And that's what makes, you know, when Kleba, we talked about him before the injury, it's like, man, it allows Dallas to, you know, have more spacing. They could stretch the floor, play small ball five. You know, Kidd goes to that once, but didn't really go to it long. They end up putting Gafford back in the game. But the spacing's not there anymore, to your point.
Yeah.
Like, he's not a threat out there.
Also,
and I think Boston knows it. They were like playing off.
It was so much easier for them to move side to side with the basketball. Derek Jones Jr., you mentioned a lot of his strong takes to the basket. Fantastic. You got to do what you got to do. You're going to get blocked. You're going to have a lot of different looks where people are just finding a way to get a hand on the ball or their verticality is there and making life more difficult. We've seen Derek Jones Jr. make so many difficult shots at the rim that I just go, keep attacking, keep putting them in a bad spot, try to get them in foul trouble.
He was 1 of 7 in the paint in this game, 2 of 9 overall, 1 of 7 in the paint. And he had some aggressive takes, just could not convert. And it's tough against this Boston team. So, if you're Dallas, you dust yourself off. It's game one. You've lost game ones during this playoff run. And it sucks, you know. Now you've gone through it. There's no surprises with the crowd. You know what this team in Boston can do. Yep. And now you have to go out there and execute. And I think first things first is coming out with the right approach in game two from a defensive standpoint. I thought they just looked a little uneasy. The ball movement wasn't great either on offense in the first half. They just need, relax and let's go play the game. We've won on the road in the playoffs. We've beaten good teams in the playoffs. They can play better than they did tonight. And I thought they had some moments in that third quarter where you went, oh, you see it. They were down 29 and cut it to 8. They need Kyrie to step up in a major way. Luka to do his thing. And that can open some things up for others.
You could tell. I mean, we've talked about this with multiple people now too. Jason Kidd having a connection with his his players. And they showed some half-time footage when they were down big. And Jason Kidd's just talking about playing. Hey, it's basketball. Have fun.
Yeah.
Like, remember, we're supposed to have fun out here. And I think to that, to some people, that could mean like, what's he really coaching at the point? Blah, blah, blah. To some, they connect with playing looser, playing free, playing their game, playing together. I mean, we've seen the chemistry and the flow of this Dallas team, especially in the Western, playing some very difficult Western Conference teams. So I expect them to play much better next game against the Boston Celtics. But if the Celtics keep this up, I mean, they're just showing why they were truly the best regular season team and possibly the best team in the NBA this year.
9 blocks for their defense. They had 6 steals as well.
I mean, it was fun watching them on defense. Like, not if you're a Mavs fan, obviously, but it was just from anyone that appreciates that part of the game. It was just absolutely beautiful.
I just think Dallas is capable of playing better defense than they did tonight, too. And I thought there were too many times. Now, the problem is, like, when Jaylen Brown, I've seen enough now in these playoffs where, like, dude, there's not many guys that can check him. Like, he is playing with a physicality. He's very strong at attacking the basket. And with Boston, these guys have, a lot of them, been playing together for a long time now. They know where to be, where every guy wants the ball. And then you plug and play guys like Porzingis and Holiday. It's
my last thing I'll say too. I know both teams had 10 offensive rebounds, but I feel like the offensive rebounds for the Boston Celtics, even though they only converted it to 10 second chance points, and Dallas 16 second chance points, right? So you're going like, oh, Dallas won that category, but it's the eye test. It's what those offensive rebounds actually feel like when you're watching the Celtics go after them, get those extra bounces. And it's not like it's lucky. It's they're making that extra effort to go after it. And when they create a second chance opportunity for their team after playing such perfect basketball at times on the defensive end, it's just going to be so crushing. You can't allow them to have any of those type of moments or any of that type of momentum.
They're a scary team. It's going to be tough. We've seen Dallas, their backs against the wall before, and have responded. I'm very eager to see what it looks like game 2 on Sunday in Boston. Any other thoughts from this game? I'm looking at my notes to make sure there's nothing else I want to bring up. I'm sure there's going to be something I missed. Oh, I was just going to mention that Gafford and Lively combined for 10 points, 8 rebounds, 4-4. I'll say this, it's something to watch. We said it before the series in our previews. Just, all right, how's Gafford going to play out there just defensively? You know, he gets put in some tough spots, right?
You know?
It's like, dude, he's got to go out there and defend Porzingis now. And it's like trying to go out there and contest. He's not totally comfortable doing that.
Yeah. And that,
and again, he played 14 minutes.
Interesting angle. And I think the other angle is just seeing how the other guys can step up. PJ Washington not making a 3 either, 0-for-3 from 3-point land. So it's you know, Jason Tatum talking to Lisa Salters after the game, just about the game in general. And he was, or about Luka first. And he said, you know, it's about stopping the others. He's going to get his. He's going to score. He's going to do what he needs to do.
Sure,
it's about stopping
the
others. So they stuck to the game plan.
Well, can't wait for game 2 coming up on Sunday. We'll have full reaction to that one as well. Also, heads up, the NBA draft is like 20 days away. We're going to have a live stream for the first night of the NBA draft on our YouTube page. But in addition to that, I've been going on live watching some of these prospects play, picking out like a random prospect, like Tristan Da Silva today. I watched a full game of his on our YouTube page live. So go watch it on demand, youtube.com/@DeuceandMo. I can't wait for the draft. And it's fun. I'm just watching these guys. I'm like, dude, this draft has a lot more talent than I think a lot of people give it credit for. So the Kings could get a legit talent at 13. Anyway, make sure to check out our YouTube page. And of course, we will have more draft content coming up on this podcast feed. We love you guys, but we gots to go. See ya.
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.